So James chapter 5, beginning at verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and the late rains. You also, be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider them blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes, and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. Please be seated. The Christian gospel. The Christian gospel is, first of all, a message. It is a message, one that is meant to be proclaimed. It is a news report, if you will. The gospel is news, good news. Good news, brothers and sisters, that this whole world desperately needs to hear. And the gospel is really the good news about what God is doing. It is the good news about what God has done and is doing through Jesus Christ, His beloved Son. The gospel is the good news about what God has done and is doing through Christ. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself. And this is good news indeed. And this is the good news that has been given unto us to hear and to receive and to trust in and to cherish and to keep and to proclaim. In Christ, God is reconciling the world to Himself, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And what does the Apostle John mean when he writes that God gave us His only Son? What does he mean when he says God gave us His only Son? Well, it means that God did not spare His own Son that He might spare us, Romans 8:32. It means that it was the will of the Lord to crush His own Son. God has done this thing that we might be accounted righteous, Isaiah 53. It means that for love's sake, God sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins, 1 John 4:10. It means that God is so amazing in love and goodness and kindness and faithfulness that having set His love upon us, even us rebellious, worthless sinners, He was willing nonetheless to send His one and only beloved Son into this world to become flesh, that He might take our sins upon Himself on that tree and there on that cross to suffer the unimaginable wrath of a holy, holy, holy God, the unimaginable wrath of an infinite God stored up for our sins, for my sins, and for your sins. God has done this thing. God has done this thing. Put your sword into its sheath, Peter. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me? God was doing this. God was reconciling the world to himself. God sent his Son into this world to be the propitiation for our sins. God gave us his beloved Son to be the sacrifice for our sins. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. O sinner, hear the voice of our heavenly Father thundering down from the heavens. Behold my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. My Son given to you. My Son given to you to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. God has done this thing. Praise him. Amen. And that means then that God himself in the person of Jesus Christ came into this world to suffer and to die for us. God himself has come. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was God, and that Word became flesh, and he dwelt among us. And because of that joy set before him, he set his face as a flint and went up to Jerusalem as a lamb, a sacrificial lamb that is led to the slaughter. He opened not his mouth as a sheep before its shearers. He was silent. But on that cross, he did sing. He did sing, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And woman, behold your son. Behold your mother. And truly I say to you, this day you will be with me in paradise. And I thirst. And it is finished. And Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. The Word became flesh, and we have seen his glory. Amen. We have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amazing love. That is his glory. Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? God was doing this thing. God was reconciling the world to himself. God in Christ, in him crucified, has made atonement for sin. God has done this most glorious thing. And God is now applying to sinners this great provision wrought in Christ crucified. The eternal Word became flesh and laid down his life for our sins. And the eternal Word, having suffered and died for us, took his life back up again. Up from the grave he arose, a mighty victor over his foes. And our foes. Amen. And God has likewise done this. God has done this. The Son was given by God the authority to lay down his life for us. And he was also given the authority to take it back up again. And the Apostle Paul makes it clear in the second chapter of Colossians that it was by the powerful working of God that Christ has raised this Jesus from the dead. And there in Colossians 2, the apostle likewise makes it clear that it is by that same power, that same resurrection power, that all those chosen in Christ are actually enabled to believe on the Savior and thus to receive the full forgiveness of their sins. It is by the powerful working of God that sinners are quickened and healed and thus enabled to believe and to receive and to forever live. By the same power with which God raised up Christ Jesus from the grave, God is raising up dead sinners even this day. And I pray even this day, even here and now, raising up dead sinners from the cursed graveyard of sin and death, quickening their sin-sick souls to hear the Savior's call to come forth from their grave and be freed from those graveyard wrappings that bind them up, free to come to Jesus Christ, to come and buy wine and milk without money and without price to come and receive the full forgiveness of their sins, to come to Jesus and to follow hard after Him. Colossians 2:11, in Him, in Christ, also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised Him from the dead. And you who were dead, you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Him. God made alive, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. God is doing this. The gospel is the good news about what God is doing. Praise Him. Amen. And so first, God has come down in the person of Jesus Christ to die for our sins and to be raised for our justification. And secondly, God has and is now granting new life to sinners dead in their trespasses and their sins. God is granting the blind to see. God is causing the deaf to hear. God is making the lame to walk, even to run hard after Jesus. God is granting that which is dead and decayed, nothing left but dry bones, the newness of life, that freshness of eternal life in Christ. Sinner, come forth. Sinner, come forth, cries the Lord. And thirdly, God is coming again. God is returning. God is coming again in the person of Jesus Christ, the King of glory. God is coming again. And He is coming to take all those who have been born again unto faith and hope in Christ, to be with Him in glory, to be with the one who, to be with the one to whom we have come to love above all others. John 14 and verse 1, the words of our Lord, let not your hearts be troubled. Let not your hearts be troubled, but believe in God and believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And from John 17, Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory. Christ is coming. Christ is coming. The King of glory is coming. Brothers and sisters, our Savior, our beloved Jesus is coming again, and He is coming soon. Do we know this? Do we believe this? Do we live in the light of this? The one who came first to be pierced for us is coming again to fully and forever deliver us. And so be ready, Christian. Be watchful, always prayerful. Be ready to receive Him. Be ready to be received. Be ready to look upon Him. To look up and behold Him in the fullness of His glory and majesty as He comes. Oh, be faithful, ever trusting in Him, ever hoping in Him, and looking to Christ's finished work upon that tree for the full forgiveness of your sins. Plead His shed blood always and nothing else for the full forgiveness of your sins. Plead His shed blood for the forgiveness of your sins. How is it that we, the saints, are to conquer in this trial that is our earthly life? Revelation 12:11, by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even unto death. They loved not their lives, but they loved their Redeemer who still lives. Revelation 7:13, Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come? I said to him, Sir, you know, and he said to me, These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The Lamb, that Lamb standing before the throne, standing as though he was slain, that same Lamb who is coming soon. And so be ready, you his saints, be faithful, believing, watchful, ever growing, quick to hear, quick to receive and to repent. Be doers and not hearers only. Do not neglect so great a salvation, but press in, press in, press in, ever seeking out your God and his grace in those places where he normally dispenses his grace. Study his word. Be in the fellowship of the saints. Be always in prayer. Be baptized and commune at his table. Be ever watchful, prayerful, ever seeking his face, ever growing in his grace, that you would not be backslidden and fall away, but would be found at his coming bearing the garments of his righteousness, by which you will surely escape the judgment. Revelation 16:15. The words of our Lord, Behold, I am coming like a thief. I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake, keeping his garments on, that he may not go about naked and be seen exposed. Brothers and sisters, our Savior draweth nigh. Our Savior draweth nigh. He is standing at the very door, we are told. He is standing at the door. All he need to do is step over that threshold, and this dispensation of grace will all but flee away, as the full consummation of his glorious kingdom rushes in like a tidal wave with him. He need but step over that threshold. He is near. Christ is near. And for those who have loved not their lives even unto death, but have loved him who first loved us, for those who have not spoiled their garments, but have kept themselves unstained from this world, for those who truly belong to him, his kingdom will come in a massive tidal wave of glory and joy inexpressible, where everything, as C.S. Lewis put it, where everything that is sad becomes in the twinkling of an eye untrue. No more sadness, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more death, no more sin, no more sin, no more will I sin, no more will I sin. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, amen. Till all the ransomed church of God be saved, to sin no more, to sin no more. Brothers and sisters, our Savior draweth nigh. Be watchful. Be ready. He is at the door. Lo, he comes with clouds descending, once for sinners, once for favored sinners slain. Thousand saints attending, swell the triumph of his train. Alleluia, alleluia. God appears on earth to reign. Hear the words of your Lord, brothers and sisters. I am coming soon. I am coming soon. Hold fast what you have so that no one may seize your crown. Why? Why, O Christian, would the fact that this was written nearly 2,000 years ago cause us to be any less ready and eagerly anticipating his return? We, brothers and sisters, live at a time that is almost 2,000 years closer to the appointed time of his coming again. I would suggest that we have more reason than any who have come before us to be watchful and waiting, patiently waiting and ready to be received. Oh, look up, brothers and sisters. Wake up and look up. Lift up your eyes, for your redemption draweth nigh. And establish your hearts. Establish your hearts, says James. For the coming of the Lord is at hand. Verse 8. Establish your hearts, or fix your hearts. Establish, fix, or set. The same verb is used in Luke 9:51. There, speaking of our Lord, when the days drew near for him to be taken up, Jesus set. Jesus fixed, he established his face to go to Jerusalem, which I think speaks volumes to us of the humility and patient submission, the acquiescence to the will of God that is being called for, being called, we are being called to here. And in that, then, there is this bearing up under any hardships or sufferings that our Lord should call us unto. Any hardships, any sufferings, any self-denial. With an eye, and this is so key, with an eye, as Matthew Henry so eloquently put it, with an eye to a glorious future recompense. To a glorious future recompense, where everything will be made right. Behold, says our Lord, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. Surely, surely I am coming soon. Establish in this way your hearts, brothers and sisters, for your redemption draweth nigh. Behold, the judge is standing at the very door. And notice the contrast that James sets before us here between the condemned of verse 5 and the blessed of verse 8. James 5:5. You have lived on the earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened your hearts. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have fattened your hearts when you ought to have established your hearts instead. Oh, wait on the Lord, Christian. Wait on him. Be patient, for he is coming soon. And with him, he brings that joy that has been set before us in Christ. With his coming comes our great reward, that crown of life. With his coming comes our glorious portion, eternal life in glory, to know forever and ever joy inexpressible, the fullness of joy ever increasing. Every day's blessings will be better than the last. Every day's joy will be greater than the former. Forever and ever, we who are finite in our capacity to experience joy will be filled, overflowing with the gladness that flows from that infinite fountain of pleasure that is our God. Truly, truly, a day in his courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Amen. Be patient, brothers and sisters. Be patient and wait on his coming. Do not give up on him, nor give in to the evil one, but establish your hearts. And do not sell out to gain the world and the things of the world, but keep an eye on the glory to come, your true joy, your lasting reward that has been set before you in the Beloved. It is not that far off. Really, and refuse to spend one lowly cent on the devil's great fare, like our Lord who has gone before us. For what does it profit a man to gain this whole world and forfeit his soul? Christ is coming. Our Christ is coming soon. Christ is coming. I feel like I should just say it, this little saying, over and over and over again until it finally penetrates to the deepest depths of our souls, where it will bring forth fruit such as the world has often seen. I think again of all those saints who were used so mightily of the Lord, those saints whose lives we love to read about. Some of them are ministering in this world right now. Many more are with the Lord, and some even bearing the honorable marks. The honorable marks of martyrdom, faithful witnesses to the glorious end. I think of Jim Elliot, who lost his life while laboring as a missionary to an unreached people group in Ecuador. He is no fool, Jim once wrote. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Well, Jim Elliot gave up his very life to reach those souls for Christ, to the glory of God our Father. He was speared to death by the very people he was trying to reach, pierced by those whom he went to save. Doesn't that sound familiar? Surely we consider Jim Elliot blessed, most blessed of our Lord, to have paid that ultimate price for the Lord's sake. Blessed, not unfortunate, but blessed. Blessed, truly blessed of our Lord. Or consider, brothers and sisters, the prophets of old. Is it not the case that those prophets most honored of our Lord were likewise those who, according to divine providence, were the most afflicted? They were hunted and killed. They were stoned. They were sawn into. And they patiently endured. They established their hearts for the coming of the Lord. They bore up under it with an eye to that future glory, that heavenly city. They too were given a message, brothers and sisters. And they lived and died to proclaim that message. Their very lives were even orchestrated as to communicate that message. Even at times they suffered as some sort of real life parable in order to portray God's message. It was really given to Hosea to patiently endure that trying marriage. They suffered all sorts of hardships and persecutions and temptations, and through it all they are an example to us of patient fortitude. The patient fortitude that, given its full play, will result in the man of faith becoming whole, complete, perfect. It is those we love to read about. It is those saints we consider most blessed of our Lord, isn't it? It is those who have patiently endured the harshest of trials that we consider most blessed. It is those who have suffered the worst and have kept the faith that we know to be the most happy. For we know that through it all, they have walked excruciatingly. I chose that word carefully. They have walked excruciatingly close to the Lord. And that is the sweetest of places to be. Amen. It is not those. It is not those who have fattened their hearts in a day of slaughter who are the blessed of the Lord, and we know it. For it is not those we care to read about. We can see it so easily when it comes to others. I believe the real battle is seeing it for ourselves. Oh, that we would yearn to be so blessed of our Lord. Christ is coming. Our Lord and Savior is coming. He is coming. So wake up. Wake up, brothers and sisters. Wake up and look up. Lift up your eyes, for your redemption draweth nigh. Precious little time we have. Precious little time to sell out for Jesus. Sell out for Christ and live this life to the glory of God our Father and for the multiplication of His praise and His glory and His worship. Oh, let's be ready. Let's be ready to meet Him. Let's be ready to look upon Him, eager to look up and see Him in His coming, in His glory and in His majesty. And I'm not saying that we are all called to parachute into the jungle somewhere and to be hacked to pieces by the very people we are attempting to reach for Christ, for that great honor. That great honor is actually reserved for the few. However, surely it has not been left to us to fatten our hearts in a day of slaughter. No, brothers and sisters, establish your hearts. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. And surely any station, any good work, any sacrifice or self-denial or trial to which He would call us, we could surely endure by His strength. Surely His grace would be sufficient to see us through. And anything we could be called to hear is but light momentary affliction compared to that eternal weight of glory that He is bringing with Him when He comes. And He is coming soon. He is coming soon. Christ is coming. Coming to fully redeem His own. And as well, Christ is coming to judge and to condemn all those who are not His own. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Behold, sinner, the judge is standing at the door, and all he has to do is step over that threshold, and this dispensation of grace has ended. All he has to do is advance one step, and that book of life is forever closed. And so do not delay, do not tarry. The Lamb of God, once for sinners slain, is coming soon, bringing his recompense with him. The Lamb of God, once for sinners slain, is coming in the fullness of the wrath of God. And so, sinner, flee from the wrath to come. Flee from that wrath to come. Flee from the wrath of God and flee to the God of whom it is said he is love. Flee from the wrath of God, but do not attempt to flee from the God of wrath. For there is no place to hide. You will be on that final day left with all those other unrepentant sinners with no place to hide, calling to the mountains and the rocks to fall on you and crush you in order to hide you from the wrath of the Lamb. Every eye shall now behold him, robed in dreadful majesty. Those who set it knocked and sold him, pierced and nailed him to that tree. Deeply wailing shall the true Messiah see. Every island, sea, and mountain. Heaven and earth shall flee away. All who hate him must, confounded, hear the trump proclaim the day. Come to judgment. Come to judgment. Come to judgment. Come away. Why would you perish along with the rest of the world? Flee, sinner. Flee. Flee from the coming wrath by fleeing to God, by fleeing to the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Flee to God who so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe on him would not have to perish, but would have everlasting life. Humble yourselves before the God who raises the dead and beg him for the newness of life. Call out to the Son of David to have mercy on you. And if anyone in the crowd would rebuke you and tell you to be silent, then call out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Look upon the Son of Man lifted up on that tree and behold your God. Behold your God bearing the awful load of your sin because he loves you. Flee from the wrath of to come and flee to the precious Savior. Flee and be forever saved. May the Lord grant it. Amen.